Do you really love Him?
Amen.
I believe all of you are here this weekend because you love Him.
Amen.
But our prayer this weekend is that you would see Him more. That when you go home on Lord's Day, you could sing, "Oh, how I love Him more."
Amen.
How about on Lord's Day morning? Can we sing it that way? You know, the more you see Him, the more you love Him. It's just like with anything. If you see the value, if you see the preciousness, then you will love it more.
Amen.
You will treasure it. I think all of you have seen the Lord, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But how much of the Lord have you seen? This weekend, we'd like to share with you, how about let's read the title of the booklet. The Four Wonderful Steps of Christ. One more time. The Four Wonderful Steps of Christ. This is what we'd like to share with you. If you see the four wonderful steps of Christ, I believe you will love Him more than ever. I believe what you see would change your living, would change your life. And so that's our prayer this weekend, that you would see these four wonderful steps of Christ. It's so good that the Southern California Christian students could gather together, isn't it? Isn't it good to be together? It's great to be in our place, East LA, Long Beach. I'm from Riverside, OCC, Cypress, Fullerton. Yeah, so many places that we're from. But it's really good to come together. We just to see one another again, to sing to the Lord and like have the whole gymnasium filled with lovers of Christ.
Amen.
It's just, boy, it just strengthens me. How about you?
Amen.
Isn't it encouraging to be together?
Amen.
And every time we're together, the Lord always speaks to us. And this is just like He did in the Bible. You know, again and again in the Bible, we see that God would ask people to go away to a mountain because He wanted to share with them something special. Yeah, something that was on His heart. And where they were in their situation, it just wasn't the right environment for Him to speak to them, to reveal something that was deep in His heart. I just was remembering Moses in Exodus 24. Remember Moses? What did the Lord say? The Lord said, "Come up here." Yeah, come up here to the top of the mountain. And you know what He said? These amazing words. He said, "And be there." He didn't say to do a lot. He just said, "Come up and be there." I like to ask you young people, I hope this weekend you would come up and just be here. You say, "Oh, I am here." No, I don't mean just physically. I mean your whole being. Is it possible to let go of those things down the mountain? I know there's a test coming up next week. But for a little bit, could we just let it go?
Amen.
Saturday afternoon, we'll give you some time to study. You know, we're not saying don't do good in school. But during the meeting time, could you just be here? That is, be with us. Be here with your whole being. Your body's here. But how about your soul? Right? Your mind, emotion, will. Well, just be here. Don't worry about what's happening later on. Am I going to get the top bunk? What's for snack? Hey, don't worry about it. Just be here. Be here that God could speak to you. Moses was with God for 40 days and nights. Just he was there. And God could just infuse him with all that was on God's heart. And then in the New Testament, it happens again. The Lord takes His disciples to the mountain. When He's talking to everybody, He's at the seashore. "Come, follow Me." But then He goes up to the mountain to speak a special word concerning the kingdom of the heavens. And actually a number of times in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 24, He takes them to a mountain, yeah, to speak to them something special. So I hope all of you would be ready for the Lord speaking to you. The Lord wants to speak to you this weekend. But He needs to take you away to another place, right? Why is it a mountain? What's so special about a mountain? I was thinking about a mountain. You know what a mountain is? It's elevated. It's elevated. The Lord wants to lift us up. He said to Moses, come up. He didn't just say come. He said, come up. I hope all of you would be coming up. Even meeting by meeting, you would be coming up a little bit further. Coming up into our spirit, right? Our spirit is the high mountain where we can hear the Lord speak to us and where we can see the Lord's revelation. So it's an elevated place. You know what it also is? It's a clear sky. Isn't it nice when you get in the mountain? I know you can't see it tonight, but tomorrow, just take a look at the sky. Oh, saints from East L.A., take a look at the sky. You'll be like, this is the sky? Me too. I'm from Riverside. All the smog, it ends up right in Riverside. Yeah. We get all the smog. Sometimes we can't even see the mountains in our backyard because the smog is so thick. Oh, but we come up here. The sky is clear. We have a clear sky. That means you can see the Lord and He can see you. This is the place of the mountain. And lastly, it's a place of separation, right? That's why I just ask you, entreat you this weekend, if possible, as much as possible, to get unplugged. Yeah, just get unplugged. Just, you know, do not disturb. Do not disturb. Yeah. Airplane mode. Whatever you need to do. Yeah. Just to be here, right? You've paid the price. You've paid the money. You've paid the time. We don't want to waste our time up here. We want to be here and we want the Lord to speak to us. Actually, let's just pray all together. Lord, speak to me this weekend. Lord, speak to me this weekend. He wants to answer that prayer. Now, what we'd like to see in message one, how about could you all turn to message one? And let's read the title together. We want to begin seeing these four steps, these four wonderful steps of Christ. How about let's read message one title. Incarnation. Incarnation. So there's going to be four steps. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Some of you might say, oh yeah, I know it. I heard that before. Yeah, I got it. I would beg you, please, be emptied out this weekend, right? Be open. Lord, show me, what is incarnation? I've heard about it. I think I know it, what it is. But Lord, show it to me. Reveal it to me freshly. I want to see, what does it mean that you were incarnated? Incarnation. All of these four steps, I'd like to just share with you this. Each of these four steps are steps that Christ took for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Without these four steps, God's purpose can never be fulfilled. And I'd like to make it even more subjective to you. These four steps, you know what they are? They're the four steps Christ takes to get into man. That's why He's taking steps. His desire, His aim, His destination is you and I. The destination of the wonderful Christ in these four steps is our being, is our spirit, and is our heart. You young people are the destination of these four steps. That's why the Lord took these four steps. It's because He wants to get into you, and He wants to get into you further. Okay? So I hope you can see this and even write this down. Now, we come to the first Roman numeral. Let's see. What's the first Roman numeral? And actually, let me give you three words. Okay? If you'd like to write these three words down. These three words summarize the message one. The first word is purpose. Purpose. The second word is mingling. And the third word is expression. Expression. These are seen throughout the outline, but especially in Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3. Okay? So first of all, we have to see that God has an eternal purpose. Did you know God has an eternal purpose? In Ephesians 3:11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has an eternal purpose. And He made this purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means God's purpose is altogether related to Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have God's purpose. If you don't have Christ, you can't be in God's purpose. If you don't have Christ, you can never fulfill God's purpose. His purpose is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't this good? A lot of times I know Christians ask, what is the purpose for my life? What is my purpose? Your purpose is to be in God's purpose.
Amen.
If you don't see God's purpose, then you won't know your purpose. So we need to zero in, focus our being on God's purpose in this first Roman numeral. When we see God's purpose, then we'll know how we fit in. What's my life for? Your life is for God's purpose. It's not to do something else apart from God's purpose. But it's to be a person who knows and is enjoying God's purpose. So God has an eternal purpose. It's in Christ. Letter A says the Bible reveals to us. So I hope you have your Bible. Yeah, whole Bible. And you may need your phone for the Bible. So, you know, you might have to get it out. But again, if you can silence it and just use that part that's just for the Bible, that would be great. We're going to get into the Bible this weekend. Do you love the Bible?
Amen.
The Bible reveals God's purpose. So we have to come to the Word of God. We're not just speaking our own words. We want to see what God has shown through His Word. God, the Bible reveals to us that in eternity past, God designed a plan according to His own good pleasure. You know, God is the most living person. So He has the most feeling. He has a good pleasure. Have you ever thought about God's good pleasure? What is it that makes God happy? We think a lot about what makes us happy. But we hope this weekend that you could see what makes God happy. What is God's good pleasure? What is on His heart? Right? What's on His heart is His good pleasure. And we'll see this in in letter B coming up. Ephesians 1:9 says that He could make known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. So His good pleasure is the source. Out of His good pleasure comes His will, His purpose, His intention. Right? Then He carries that out in time. And we'll see how He can do that. Now, how about let's all read letter B. This is a key point in Roman number 1. Letter B together. God purposed to express Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to have Jesus Christ expressed through a group of people. Would be manifested. So right there you have it, if you want to underline it. God purposed to express Himself. This is what God's purpose is. God's purpose is to be expressed. Firstly, through His Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the expression of God. Christ is the expression of God. You know what one of the names of Christ is in the book of John? Actually, the first name, I'm sure you know it. John 1:1. The Word. That's right, brother. The Word. Christ is the Word. And what is the Word? The Word is the expression, the definition, the explanation of God. Just imagine if you were here and you never spoke a word. Man, mysterious. Mysterious. Who is that brother? Who is this brother? Matthew Cerezo. Did I say it wrong? All right. Yeah, I did. Amen. Matthew. I'll just start with his first name. Who is he? He's a mystery. But once he begins to talk, oh, now I know Him. Now I know what's on His heart. God's the same way. His Son, Christ, is called the Word. The Word. He's the expression of God. He's the explanation of God. So He expresses God. But God's purpose is not just to have Christ, but also to have Christ expressed through you and I, through a group of people. So we use this word. God wants a corporate expression. How about that? Not just an individual expression, but a corporate expression. He wants to be expressed through all of us, a group of people. This is how the invisible God would be manifested. In 1 Timothy 3, it talks about the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. And you know what it says? It says, He who was manifested in the flesh. Christ is the mystery of godliness. He's the expression of God. But this expression, God desires that this would also be in a group of people, not just to be in His Son. So we'll see in this outline, how can this expression that's in Christ get into us? How can we become God's expression? Then in letter C, Christ should have the preeminence, the first place in all things. Would you give the Lord the first place this weekend? Would you give Him the first place? Would you give Him your attention, your heart, your thoughts, right? To be focused on Him? Christ should have the preeminence. In Colossians, it says He's the head of the body. Shouldn't the head of the body have the first place? What if you get rid of the head? There's no body, right? He should have the first place. He's called the firstborn from the dead. That's in resurrection. That He Himself might have the first place in all things. So this is God's purpose. That Christ would be preeminent. No other person, no other matter should be preeminent other than Christ. This is God's purpose. If we have some other focus, we exalt something else besides Christ, then you know what's happened? We're outside of God's purpose. God's purpose is focused on Christ, centered on Christ. Christ is the center of God's purpose. So He should be our center as well. We should exalt Him. We should praise Him. We should worship Him. We should enjoy Him. This is what we should do. Now, God wants to have an expression, but in letter D, again, let's read this together. All this depends upon Christ being wrought into a people as they're all in all. These people, mingled with the full measure of God's life in Christ, would be a living body. This is the central point of all Scripture. So God wants to be expressed. But how can God be expressed? The only way is if He can get mingled with man. He has to be mingled with us. Whatever you're mingled with is what you express. Maybe in the last few months you've been getting mingled with, I don't know, business, taking an accounting class. You're getting mingled with accounting. So you just got numbers. You go to sleep at night and you just got positive and negative and black and red. Am I in the red or am I in the black? Yeah. You've been taking a business class. You're just getting mingled. That's what you express. Maybe some of the brothers, you've been really getting mingled with the basketball. You're looking forward to the break time. Yeah. To show off some skills. You want to show the other brothers from the other locality. Yeah, we've got some skills in this place. Yeah. You got mingled with it. So that's your expression. That's your expression. Well, let me tell you, God's purpose is that we would be mingled with Him. Then we would express Him. This is it. It's very simple. It's very simple. You see these three words? Purpose. His purpose is for expression. But expression comes through mingling. This is the way to express God, is to be mingled with God. And we'll see this more clearly in Roman numeral 2. Okay. Now, finally, in letter E, this plan was accomplished by Christ in four wonderful steps and is realized in us by the Holy Spirit. Do you all know what the name Christ means? The name Christ? You know what Christ means? One day, I was walking to school. This was probably about 16 years ago. I'm walking through the parking lot, and I just was considering Matthew 16:18. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. Lord, you are the Christ. And all of a sudden, I realized that He is the Christ. And I got really excited. You know why? Because the Christ means He's the anointed one. He's the appointed one to carry out God's purpose. And that made me really happy because it's not up to me. He's the one. He's the Christ. You are the Christ. You've been anointed. You've been appointed to carry out God's purpose. Dear saints, it's not up to you and I. It's up to Him. And isn't it good? It's up to Him. He's going to do it. These four steps, He did it already. Of course, He's working out His plan in us in time. But He's the Christ. He's the Christ. He's been anointed. He's been appointed to carry out God's purpose. He has done it, and He is doing it, and He's doing it this weekend. He's carrying out God's purpose. So don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Is it going to happen? Is God's purpose really going to happen? Is it going to work? He's the Christ. It's going to work. It's going to happen. John already saw it. Okay, now we come to Roman numeral 2. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The first wonderful step of Christ was incarnation, the mingling of God with humanity. If you're a Spanish speaker, the word incarnation is very familiar. Encarnación. Encarnación. What is this? In the flesh. Even if you're not a Spanish speaker, but you enjoy Mexican food. Carne. Carne asada. Yeah. The Word, which is God. John 1:1. The Word was God. John 1:14. This Word, which is God, became flesh. What is this? This is incarnation. God. It doesn't say that God became a man. We'll read that God did become a man. But it says that the Word became flesh. Flesh is not a good word in the Bible. But you know what? God had to become flesh. We'll see more tomorrow why. This is one of His steps. He had to become flesh so that He could get into you. If you were God, would you become flesh? Would you lower yourself? Would you empty yourself? Would you humble yourself to become not just a man, but even as Philippians 2 says, a slave. To serve the ones that you created, even to serve them with your life. This is what incarnation means. God became flesh. The Word became flesh. This is incarnation. And you know what happened in incarnation? In incarnation, God was mingled with man. Mingled with man. He didn't just put on man for a little while. And okay, I'm done. Now let me get out of that. Man, that was rough. Man, those 33 and a half years. Man. Today, He is still a man. There's a man on the throne. He put on humanity, and He never put it off. He mingled with it so thoroughly that He can't get rid of humanity. He can't be unmingled. Just like you can't be unborn. He mingled with man. He's mingled with man right now. This is what incarnation is. Have you ever seen this? Incarnation is God mingling with man. And this is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Without mingling with man, how could God be expressed through man? There's no way. So He had to mingle Himself with man. And you know what He did? He stepped out of eternity. Out of eternity. Eternity, what's that? Infinity. Right? But He stepped out of eternity into time. Into time. How many college students here like to be limited? Would you say that's one of the words that when you hear that word, you just, oh, that sounds so nice. It just, oh, I love it. Yeah, say it again, brother. Limited. Oh, limited. Lord, limit me more. But let me tell you, the infinite God became a finite man. You talk about limitation. This was the ultimate limitation. You haven't been limited. God became a man, limited himself. He had to walk. He couldn't just fly over there. Okay, disciples, yeah, why don't you take off for Jerusalem and I'm just going to go over here in the phone booth. And whoo! He didn't do that. He wasn't Superman. He was a God-man. He walked. We'll see. You know what happened? He was walking by and he became weary. Did you know that God could become weary? I thought He's God. He never becomes weary. Probably doesn't even sleep. I'll show you a verse. He slept too. He didn't sleep in a place that we would sleep, but He became weary. And He's by a well and He sees a woman. Can you give me a drink? Can you give me a drink? He was thirsty. So He became a man. He mingled Himself with humanity. This is God. Stepping out of eternity into time. And listen to this. With His divinity into humanity. He didn't leave His divinity. He brought His divinity into humanity. And mingled divinity and humanity. Now, I hope you could see these verses. These verses are so good. In letter A, Christ is God incarnated as a man. Christ is the God-man. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Have you ever heard that before? God-man. He's God, but He became a man. So what do we call Him? You say, Christ is God. Amen. Christ is man. Amen. So let's just put it together. Christ is the God-man. He's God and man. And there's a really good phrase here I'll show you in letter C. We'll get to that shortly. So the verses are there. John 1:1, the Word was God. 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. I always love the word tabernacle. Is that a sweet word to you? You know what it means, tabernacle? It means that you can get into Him. Tabernacle is a tent. God became flesh and He tabernacled among us. He just dwelt among us. Why? So that we could enter into Him. I hope you would enter into Him more this weekend. Get into Him. Yeah. He came. He became a man. Why? So that you could get into Him. That's why He became flesh. He doesn't want to be separate from you. He wants to cover you. He wants to embrace you. He wants you to find your home in Him. He became the tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. Then in letter B, listen, the incarnation of Christ simply means the mingling of God with humanity. Mingling is much more than mixing together. It is an intrinsic union. Now, in these verses, you should underline these verses. You can look at them later. It says the origin of Jesus Christ was in this way. Matthew 1:18. His mother, Mary. So what's that? His mother, Mary. That's the humanity. His mother was Mary. But listen to the end of the verse. Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. So Mary's the human nature, Holy Spirit, the divine nature. These two were mingled together. It's a mystery. I don't know how that happened. Wow. I just say amen to the Word of God. Amen? This is what it says. And then in 1:20 of Matthew, it says, that which has been begotten in her, right? A human, is of the Holy Spirit. So there's humanity and there's divinity and they're mingled together in this wonderful person. Jesus Christ is the mingling of God and man. In letter C, He was a sinless God-man. This is the phrase I'd like you to underline. It's good to remember too. The complete God and the perfect man. Isn't that good? When somebody asks you, who was Jesus? Why don't we say it together? The complete God and the perfect man. This is what you should say. This is Jesus. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a moral man. He was a perfect man. Perfect man. And He was the complete God. Complete God and the perfect man. Having two natures, the divine nature and the human nature, although His two natures were mingled to produce a God-man, the individual characteristics of the two natures remained distinct. The two natures did not intermix to form a third nature. So the word we have here is mingling. And I just wanted to give you a little demo here, show you mingling. You might have seen this before, but if we take some hot water here, got a little bit of hot water. Some of you might want some of that before you brave the elements after the meeting, before you go outside. And I got a little tea bag here, some good Earl Grey black tea. All right. So this is a little picture that I hope could show you something of mingling. So here I have a tea bag. All right. There's some nice tea in there. Here I have some hot water. All right. Divinity, humanity, the Holy Spirit entered in to Mary. And what happened there? It was a mingling. It was a mingling. It was a mingling. 9 months of mingling. 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 Whoa. Whoa, brothers. Wait. Whoa, the mingling. The mingling's going on. This is the mingling. Yeah. God came into man. Right? But when God came into man, He mingled with man. He mingled with man. Okay? Now, let me ask you, what do I call this? What do I call this? So I had tea. Right? And let me just take the tea bag out here. And then I had some water. Right? Okay. Now what was produced? Tea water. Very good. Yeah. We got to have both of those there. Yeah. Because we have to have God-man. God-man. God came into man and was mingled with man. And it produced a God-man. A God-man. The mingling of divinity and humanity. It's so simple. Next time you drink tea, wow. It's going to be different, huh? Matter of fact, you might drink some tea when you're preaching the gospel. Maybe you go to the restaurant, order some tea. You can share with the server. The mingling. Yeah. Whoa. Amen. Good. So this is tea water. This is tea water. This is the mingling of these two. Now, I didn't produce a third thing. You see that? Is there water here? Yeah. Is there tea here? Yeah. Is there something else? No. It's the tea and the water mingled together. But they didn't produce some third strange thing. It's just the two. And they're distinguishable, right? The tea and the water. They're there, but yet they're mingled together as one. They're mingled as one. I just wanted to give you a definition here, if you want to write it down. The proper definition of mingling is that the divine nature is made one with the human nature without producing a third nature. Without producing a third nature. And then in Webster's Third International Dictionary, you know what it says? Mingling is to bring or combine together with something else so that the components remain distinguishable in the combination. In the combination. They're distinguishable. They're not separable. We can't separate. I can't put my hand in here and separate the tea and the water. They're mingled together, but they're distinguishable. They're distinguishable. This is the mingling, to bring or combine together so that the components remain distinguishable in the combination. This word mingling, I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's in the book of Leviticus. You could write down Leviticus 2:5. If you have time in your groups tonight, you can look up this verse. In Leviticus 2:5, it talks about a meal offering. The meal offering was fine flour mingled with oil. Fine flour mingled with oil. And this meal offering is a type of Christ. It's a type of Christ's incarnation. The fine flour is Christ's humanity. And the oil is what? Is the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the oil always signifies the Spirit. And flour, fine flour, signifies Christ's humanity. In incarnation, what happened? Fine flour was mingled with oil. Divinity and humanity were mingled together as one. Oh, this is so tasty. It becomes a meal offering. Yeah. God gets to eat. And man gets to eat. Yeah, this is what happens when God is mingled with man. So hopefully this example is helpful to you. Now, in letter D, when Christ was born as a man, a wonderful event took place. A child was born who was called the Mighty God. Do you know Isaiah 9:6? A child was born to us. A son was given to us. And the government is upon his shoulders. And what is his name called? Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. Four wonderful steps. Because it's a wonderful person. His name is wonderful. So whatever he does is wonderful. When he takes a step, it's wonderful. He is wonderful. This one is called the Mighty God. This child is the Mighty God. I can't explain it. I just say, praise the Lord. Wow. And this son, the son who was given, is the eternal Father. Whoa. That's heavy. I got to chew on that one. The son is the Father. Now, in letter E. Okay, let's all read letter E together. In Jesus Christ, the Almighty God mingled Himself with a man. This is the desire of God for you and me, that He might be mingled with us. In letter E, this outline takes a turn. We've been talking about Jesus. We've been talking about Christ. And it says, Jesus Christ is the Almighty God mingled with a man. Then it turns. This is the desire of God for you and me. What? Where? How did we get in there? This is God's desire for you and me. Meaning God's desire is the same thing that happened with Christ would happen with us. God wants to mingle Himself with us. Incarnation is not just an event 2,000 years ago. Incarnation should happen again when we get mingled with God. Isn't this something? So it says in the verse, He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, how can you be mingled with God? Well, if we think about this example, right? I know I can't go backwards here. But just imagine, here you are, and here's God. What do you need to do? Well, you need to open. You need to open. So you open one day. I believe all of you have. If you haven't, after the meeting, come and talk to Brother Charles, and we can make sure this happened. One day you opened. Just like a jar, you open. You open your mouth, you open your heart, and you called on the Lord. Right? You prayed. You said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I repent. Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I receive you. And what happened? Whoa. That's what happened. God came into you and got mingled with you. This isn't just a picture of Jesus. This is a picture of you and I. When we prayed and believed in the Lord, we got regenerated. Our spirit became mingled with the Spirit of God. John 3:6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our human spirit was regenerated. And now, according to 1 Corinthians, we're joined to the Lord. We're one spirit. We're one mingled spirit. God's spirit is mingled with our spirit. And this is you and I. This is you and I. We're mingled with the Lord. We're mingled with the Lord. So I hope you can see this. This is not just something that happened in the Lord. Surely it did. But this is what happened in all of us. Let me give you two verses you can look at. When the Lord was born, you know what happened? Angels rejoiced. Angels rejoiced. Why? Because God was mingled with man. And I just leave you with these verses. Luke 2:10-14. Luke 2:10-14. There was a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying glory in the highest places to God. That's what happened when Jesus was born. The angels rejoiced because God is being mingled with man. Now you turn to Luke 15:10 and look at these two verses, these two groups of verses. In Luke 15:10, what does it say? When a sinner repents, the angels rejoice. Wait a second. I thought they only rejoiced when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, God got mingled with man. When a sinner repents, God gets mingled with man. So the angels are rejoicing for the same reason. God is being mingled with man. When you share the gospel at school with someone and they just pray with you, just as you're studying together in the library at 10 o'clock at night, nobody's around, you just pray quietly. And you just say, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I receive you. The angels are rejoicing. Amen. Because God is getting mingled with man. This is what happens. Okay. Letter F. To be a real Christian. What is it to be a real Christian? It simply means to be mingled with God. To be a God-man. It is not enough to be a good man. We have to be a God man. Are you bold enough to say, I'm a God man? Sometimes you might be afraid to say, well, I don't always live like a God man. But have you been regenerated? Have you believed in the Lord? According to what we've read, you're mingled with God. God has become mingled with you. So what should we call you? Just a man? Just a good man? We have to call you a God man. You are a God man. John 1:12-13. You're born of God, right? You believed, you received, you're born of God. Whoever you're born of, that's what you are. Born of your parents, you're a human being. Born of God, God man. God man. Have a let's say it together, I'm a God man. I'm a God man. Wow, precious. Precious. Now, you're a God man in your spirit. Romans 8 tells us that when we receive the Lord, our spirit is life. Our spirit is life. But you know what? You still need to be mingled with the Lord in all the parts of your being. Your spirit is God. Your spirit is a God man. But what about your mind? If we could show a little video of what you thought about today. We could project that for everyone to share. Would those thoughts, all of them, since the time you woke, would they all be God-man thoughts? So what does this show? This shows that we still need more mingling. Our mind needs more mingling. Our emotions. When you cry, when you laugh, is that expression, are they those expressions of God? Is that how God feels too? So we know that we need more mingling with the Lord. And you know what? I'd just like to give you an encouraging word if you want to write this down. God arranges every situation in our lives for the mingling of Himself with us. Is there something in your life that's happened recently that you weren't too happy about? Last Saturday, I parked in front of my house. My daughter was getting her clothes for a soccer game. Just went inside for about 20 minutes, came back out. There's a dent in my bumper. Somebody hit the car and took off. So I realized at that moment, Lord, I need to be mingled more. Wednesday, we went to soccer practice, drove 20 minutes, got there. No one was there. They must have changed the practice. Yeah. Lord, thank you. I could be mingled a little bit more. How about you? How about you? Right? All the situations that you're going through, this, the tests you're studying for, the exams coming up, your job, your boss, your roommates, the brother's house, corporate living, coordination time. You know what they're all for? Just to help you to be mingled with God. I hope you could see that. You know, many, many times in our lives, we have to wait in line. We have to wait in line. You got to wait in line for air, right? Wait in line for gas. Wait in line at the store. It seems like the line you get in always ends up being the longest line. You get in that line, you're like, oh, it's the shortest one. And then the older lady pulls out her checkbook. You're like, where's your swipe, man? Come on. Just swipe and go. Swipe and go. Brings out the checkbook. Brings out the driver's license. Oh, no. How could they do this to me? You know what you should do instead? Say, Lord, mingle with me a little bit more. That's a mingling moment. That's a mingling moment. There's so many moments in our life. Do you waste those moments or do you take the opportunity to be mingled? Tomorrow morning you'll come to have breakfast and you're going to be outside and be, Lord, it's cold, it's cold, it's cold. Oh, Lord. Woo, woo, woo. Freezing, freezing. A mingling moment. That's a moment to be mingled. You know, we have a little chorus that we sing. I don't know if you all know it, but maybe we can sing it right now. It says, mingle, mingle, hallelujah. And it repeats that two other times, and then it says, mingling is the way. How about let's sing that? Mingle, mingle, hallelujah. Mingle, mingle, hallelujah. Mingle, mingle, hallelujah. Yes, mingling is the way. When you're waiting for lunch tomorrow, just sing a song. Just talk to those of you standing around. Take the opportunity to be mingled a little bit more. This is what the Lord is doing in all of us. He arranges everything for the mingling. In G, this is a good prayer you could pray tonight before you go to bed. We should spend some time before the Lord and say, Lord, reveal to me the meaning of mingling, of the mingling of God with man. May the Lord reveal more to you. Now, in the second point, we'll just read quickly here. The second point of the incarnation of Christ is that God is expressed in a man. Let me give you this. Because God is mingled with man, therefore God could be expressed through man. This is tea water, right? It's the mingling of tea and water. So what does it express? Tea water. So because Christ is the mingling of God with man, He just expressed God in His human living. It wasn't a performance. He didn't say, okay, oh, the disciples are coming. Okay, let me express God now. He just did it spontaneously. You know how we know this? One time the Lord's walking through a crowd of people. And a woman comes up behind Him. He didn't even see her. And she touched his garment, and power went out of him and healed her. And he said, "Who touched me?" He didn't say, "Oh, there's a woman coming. Oh, I see. There she is. Okay, let me get ready. Let me get that power ready." He didn't even know she was coming. But you know what? He lived this way of expressing God all the time. It wasn't something he turned on and off. He didn't just come to the meeting and express God. He lived a life of expressing God. Wherever you found him, he was expressing God. How about us? How about us? Wouldn't this be good? Wherever the brothers find you, you're expressing God. One time he's sleeping in the boat and there's a storm and they wake him up. What would happen if the brothers would wake you up from a nap? Maybe the storm would just begin. When the Lord woke up from a nap, he quieted the waves. He silenced the sea. And they said, "What kind of man is this?" He's a God man. He's the mingling of God with man. So everything he did, he expressed God. I hope you could see this, young people. I hope you would just have this desire, Lord, mingle yourself more with me. Because if he's mingled more with you, then you will have more expression of God. Don't try to be different. Just enjoy him. Just do this. Just do this, right? Just let him in. Just spend time. Just let him steep. Let him steep in your spirit. Let him spread to your mind, your emotion, your will, right? This is how you have expression. Expression comes from mingling. So focus on mingling and expression will be there. Okay? Now, we'll just read through these points. God's plan is to manifest himself in man and through man. This is the key to the four Gospels. God is expressed in a man who is truly man, a man who lived a human life on this earth, yet who expressed God. In the Gospel of John, we are told that the Lord is the Word of God. This Word is God himself, and that one day he became a man. The Lord was on this earth acting, living, walking, working, and doing things exactly as a man. He was 100% a man, yet in this man, in his life, his walk, and his work, God was manifested. Isn't that good? He lived as a man, but he manifested God. You look just like a student. You just look like a freshman. But you say things. You do things. On Friday nights, you don't... Man, what's wrong with you? You're not going out with everybody else to the party. You go and you meet with these people and read the Bible. One brother among us, older brother, he shared that when he got saved, he would stay home on Friday night and drink milk and read the Bible. You just drink milk and read the Bible. Actually, the Bible is the milk of the Word. Amen. You're different. You're different than others. Why? Because you've been mingled with God. You express God. You express God. Even in the way you deal with other students in your class. When our Lord was on earth, though he was wholly a man, he lived by God. He never did anything of himself. And he never spoke anything from himself. This is when you see the Lord, I encourage you to read the Gospels again. Read the Gospels again. You read the Gospels, you just see a beautiful life. It's so beautiful to see a man who didn't express himself, who didn't live for himself, but who just expressed the Father. He was the Son of God, but he just expressed the Father. He didn't even speak his own. Don't you think the Lord could speak his own words? Don't you think he could do a few things? But it says in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing from himself except what he sees the Father doing. And herein lies a little secret. The Son, he saw the Father. He beheld the Father. And you know what he did? Whatever he saw the Father doing, that's what he did. He saw the Father. Whatever he sees the Father doing, that's what he did. How about us? The more time we spend to behold the Lord, the more we will reflect the Lord. The more we look away unto Jesus, as we sang tonight, look away unto Jesus, then the more expression of the Lord you will have, right? Enjoy Him. Spend time with Him. Sing songs to Him, right? This is how you behold Him. This is how you enjoy Him. If you have such a life of beholding the Lord, surely there will be a reflection. You won't have to do much. You'll just reflect Him. You'll just express Him in a very spontaneous way. This is what the Lord is looking for. E. How about let's all read E together. The Christian life is to have God in Christ as our life and our all. Day by day and moment by moment, we must deny and reject ourselves. Take Christ as our life. So I just end with this. What kind of expression do we have as Christians? We should be those who express Christ. We should express Him. He's mingled with us in our spirit. We need to open more to Him to be mingled further. But what kind of expression do we have? If we were to go and check your Facebook page, if we were to receive your Instagrams, could we tell that these are Instagrams from a believer, from a God man? Oh, these are a little different. Or does it look just the same as anyone else who doesn't know the Lord? Right? There should be some expression. Some expression. I don't know what that means. I'm not saying, you know, take down your Facebook page tonight. No. I'm just asking, what is our expression? If we're mingled with the Lord, there will be an expression. Yeah, there should be an expression that we are one who loves the Lord, who enjoys the Lord. We're a God man, right? So this should be our life. This should be our life. Enjoying the Lord's mingling and expressing Him more and more. So I end with this. Do you want God's purpose to be fulfilled? Amen. God's purpose is fulfilled by a group of people who express Him. Do you want to express God? Amen. You must be mingled with God. That's the only way. So your little times of being mingled with God, even this weekend, are for the fulfillment of God's purpose. We pray that this weekend would be a further step in God fulfilling His purpose. Because you're getting mingled with Him. You're expressing Him a little more. And even to deny ourselves, you know, one practical way is to speak for the Lord. To speak for the Lord. Isn't it easy to just speak about so many things? But not easy to speak for the Lord. Even tonight, we'll have a few minutes. Something you enjoyed, just come up and speak. Speak for the Lord. Right? In the church, in the meetings where you are with the students, speak for the Lord. Right? To your friends on the gospel, speak for the Lord. This is to deny ourselves. And speaking for the Lord, you know what? This is a great way to express God. When you speak for God, you express God. So let's end with the focus. How about let's all read the focus together? Amen.
Yeah, maybe a prayer, and then we could have the mics.
So let's take a minute right now just to pray with your neighbor, anything that touched you tonight. And then after that, what I'd like you to do is just take about a minute and a half or two to share with your neighbor anything that you enjoyed from the outline, a verse. So pray together, then share together, then we'll have a time for some to come up and speak as well. Amen. Let's pray.